Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. Coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, so let's get to LeBron. I couldn't wait to get to this part of the show. I really couldn't hear. Lakers, LeBron, 10th place, three out of the final spot in the Western Conference here. And, some people do. You know, some people are inherently jealous of other success. Some people begrudge others their wealth and their fame. Not me. I want to see people happy. I want to see people thrive. I want to see people do well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also have this need that borders on maybe odd, where I need to see people humbled when it's time to get humbled.
Okay.
And I said 2 weeks ago, I don't know what's more appealing to me, to see LeBron James kind of sneak into the eighth spot and get absolutely dismantled by the Warriors in four straight and get embarrassed and just kind of trudge off the court after being broomed. Or to have the indignity of his first year in L.A., the Lakers. Team of championships, all the great names, the statues. We know all the names and the records and their place in North American sports.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to see him actually miss out on the playoffs. And I've gone back and forth on that, admittedly, here. LeBron James has officially lost me. I think LeBron James has lost a lot of people along the way. His perspective on his place in this world is so jaded and so far from reality, it's an embarrassment. If I'm LeBron James, I would be embarrassed for this comment we're about to play now.
Let's play what he said, because on top of what he said last week when he was talking about, you know, the guy's not being ready to play, and then the week before, that was 2 weeks ago where he was talking about the guy's not ready to play, and it was trying to talk about his teammates, but he ended up talking about himself. It's odd.
It's always about him.
It's always
what is it not about LeBron?
And it's frustrating. But let's listen to what he said yesterday.
What? Let's just stop that for a second. Stop. My level of intensity for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, our level. He's talking about our as a team.
No, he said my. He eventually got to some team stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
He's orbiting around a different planet at this point.
Yeah, it's called himself.
And that's true. All right, play it again from the get-go. My level of intensity.
I think he said our.
He said my. I don't like to do it at such an early time. And then he dropped in the obligatory we, because he remembered that it's a team sport. How noble of him again.
It's been activated. Our level of intensity.
Wonder Twin Powers activate in the form of a basketball player who actually is going to play hard now for the final 25 games.
Agreed.
First of all, the term activation is corny in itself.
LeBron James is making $153 million on his current contract. $38 million playing.
I don't even care about the money.
For the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm just saying.
That doesn't even bother me.
If you're making $38 million, and I understand it's a grind, and it's a hard season, you're 34 years old.
He missed 20 games. What the hell's so hard about it?
Well, come on.
He missed a quarter of the season.
If someone's paying you $30-plus million, almost $40 million, you should be activated every damn night. I understand that it's a grind. I understand you've been to the finals every year for the last 8 years, and you haven't missed the playoffs since 2005, where you got a chance to really chill. Mm. Back in 2004, you chilled, right? Because you didn't make the playoffs, that offseason. But come on, LeBron. This is what you're paid to do. This is what everybody wants to see you do. So it's frustrating to hear him make us sound like we don't expect this of him. You know what I mean? It's just weird. It's just weird I know he's trying to take the focus off of his teammates, right? That may be his ultimate objective.
I think you're giving him way too much credit.
I got to talk about myself because it makes people not talk about my teammates.
I'm just trying
to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not even trying anymore. By the way, I looked it up, the transcript. Here's the exact quote because it was a little inaudible in certain spots. Was it muffled? Was it Meyer? Quote, my level of intensity has to be high. Unfortunately for me, because I don't do it at such an early time. I don't like to do it at such an early time. End quote.
Yeah.
Three references to himself in that sentence. None to the team. None.
I agreed.
You know, and by the way, if I'm like, forget about Lakers management. Forget about his teammates. And we've talked about that a ton, obviously, when, you know, he tried to, you know, get that trade and get them all out of here. What if you're a season ticket holder to the Lakers? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm looking at this a little bit too literally here, but if he's telling me in his words, now my level of intensity has to be high, aren't you implying that for the first 50 games as a Laker, it wasn't that high?
Yeah.
If that's the case, how the hell is that acceptable?
Yeah, it's not.
Exactly.
It's not acceptable.
It shouldn't be. Except by his sycophants who lick his boots and just hang on every word he says.
Well, the other side of this is...
I can't stand LeBron James anymore.
It's different when he had a veteran team. Like his teams in Cleveland and even in Houston, in Miami, those were veteran teams. And so... It's okay. They understand. But when you got young players who are impressionable and they, at one point, I don't know if they still do, looked up to LeBron James as the guy, don't you got to be the example? I mean, you hear this all the time. I mean, as much as we are criticizing Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown right now, you hear, like Todd Haley said this earlier today or maybe even yesterday, Bruce Arians has said this. I'm sure even Mike Tomlin and all of their teammates would say it. Those two dudes are the hardest working guys in the locker room, right? They work their ass off. They never, like... I'm just chilling today. I'm going to have a half-ass day today. You know, this is an F around Friday. You know, they're not doing that, right? They're working their butts off, and that's the example. As much as they are as a pain in the butt, when it comes to what they're actually paid to do, they do it all out. Now, here he is admitting that he just kind of, not chilling, but he's not up in the intensity to a level that's commensurate to winning. It doesn't make any sense.
LeBron James might be the only person in basketball, or really in sporting history, who has... simultaneously elevated his sport to a level that is so far beyond, and here's the compliment, that we ever thought it could get to.
Agreed.
And then single-handedly ruin it because he's beginning to ruin it. He started to ruin it with the assembly of the superpower teams. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me, please, don't call up and say the Celtics did this with Kevin Garnett. That was a trade. That was a trade, and Kevin Garnett had played 13 years for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Paul Pierce obviously was there, and Ray Allen was getting a little long of the tooth. That was not the same circumstance. So here's a guy who, you know, and again, he's got the freedom to do it, but these superpowers are beginning to ruin the NBA. A lot of people agree with me when I say that. And now he is just so honest and transparent in his lack of effort. Like, he's also the same guy, you know, who, LeBron James is bothering me. And there's no going back. I'm not a LeBron fan anymore.
Now, where do you sit as opposed to wanting him to make the finals and get swept by the Warriors or the Nuggets, whoever it may be, or making the playoffs, or having him sit out?
I think I want to see him suffer the pain of making it because I want to see him on the court for four games. You know, 48 minutes times four, whatever that is. I'm not sure. It's a little bit below 200. I want to see him look at the Warriors.
192?
I don't know. Whatever it is. I want to see him watch the Warriors and look at them, you know, like with,
envy?
Yeah, like just jealousy and just look at how they operate, how they function at such a high level. And he's wallowing on the bench. And you look up, and in the fourth quarter, he's on the bench. And it's the scoreboard says 113-91 with 6 minutes and 37 seconds to go in the first game. And then it's 122-102 with 3 minutes to go in game two. I want to see him get whacked because it's easy for him to get if they don't make the playoffs. Then he could just disappear, and it's not painful enough for him. I want him to suffer pain relative to having, not physical pain, watch him, like, just watch him.
Feel helpless.
Feel helpless.
Yeah, which is something he hasn't felt in a long time. a long time.
What an embarrassing quote. My level of intensity has to be high? Unfortunately. Like, even if he just said, you know, listen, guys, my level of intensity is going to have to be really high the rest of the way, you know, because we're in this spot. Not that that's even acceptable, but then he says, unfortunately, like he's just overtly saying, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do this, but I'm going to do it because my teammates suck. That's what he's saying. Because my teammates are trash. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to do this a lot earlier than I want to do it.
Yeah. Look, and here's the other thing. I don't know if we have the other part of his quote, BT, but he also talked about how he likes to be uncomfortable. Like he's relishing this moment that's coming for him with the Los Angeles Lakers post All-Star. They're a game under 500 right now. He's talking about I like being uncomfortable. It's almost like he's saying I kind of enjoy the drama that comes with my life, and that's what he
Good
needs to
him.
Be challenged. I mean, look, if he needs that to be challenged, I get it. But when I don't know. It's not a core principle of sport. Right? Harmony is what gets you success. At least I think that's what it gets you success in sport. That's what the Golden State Warriors have mostly had during this 5-year run where they've won three championships, probably four.
Mm-hmm.
It's been harmonious, mm-hmm. right? They get along.
A little occasional flare-up that gets snuffed out in one day.
Nothing lingering. That you talk about a whole season. Even the Draymond KD thing that was at the beginning of the season. It went away after a month. I mean, that was probably long. It probably wasn't that long. So harmony wins. It's not like drama. Just like LeBron embraces the drama.
I guess, you know.
Because he wants to be the hero?
I don't know. All I know is what he said to me is patently offensive to, as he's sitting there saying that after practice, I'm sitting there looking at, you know, I have like five or six guys just flash through my mind. One of them is Patrick Ewing mm-hmm. with two monster bags of ice on each knee after every game in that ratty blue robe that he had, you know, hanging on, just trying to win a championship. Then I see Karl Malone and John Stockton, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to climb to the top of the mountain. Just as they get there, somebody kicks them, but yet they get up and they keep climbing again because LeBron's a champ and he's great. I'm not saying that, but because there's just this unbreakable spirit and this respect for the craft. I'm seeing Charles Barkley's kneecap twist around when he's with the Houston Rockets. And, you know, him joining forces with Clyde Drexler and those guys, obviously trying to get a fruitless endeavor, didn't get it. But I'm seeing all these old, and I'm not talking about from the 50s, 60s, I'm talking about from the 90s. It's not that long ago that where guys just, this was such a foreign thought. This is such a foreign way of thinking that they've got to be laughing. Like if they're hanging out in the bar, MJ, Pippen, mm-hmm. Barkley, Ewing, Malone, Stockton, they're probably saying, this guy's a clown, man. They're probably laughing at LeBron James.
Is it because it's such a different world from when those guys, when we grew up, is it so different? It's so different.
I understand that, but I know you remember the ride at Disney? Actually, pardon me, it's not a ride. It's the carousel of life. Mm-hmm. Did you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there?
Of course.
Okay. For those who haven't been there, you sit, it's like a movie theater, and it transports you. It actually goes very slowly around in a full circle. And there's the American Family. Mm-hmm. And it starts in the 20s, like when they've got the wood-burning stove. And it goes to, like, the 50s when things are flourishing and we're making cars and we're thriving. The radio.
The television comes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then I think it ends in the 80s, and they've got, like, a robot on Christmas morning. It looks like a robot that's 1,000 years old, actually. But they show the progress of life. I understand things change. You make more money. You pursue different things. The world changes. Certain core principles of competition should not change. You know, it's just like the virtues of those families don't change.
Yeah.
You still wake up to work hard, be a good person, and do the right thing as a family. As an athlete, you want to do that as well, but you got to wake up and you got to want to compete every day.
Yeah, I agree.
Not selectively, I never thought he was like that.
Look, we'll get our caller's thoughts on this, BT, but should we give him a little bit?
You can. I'm not giving him any benefit of the doubt. I'm done with LeBron James. You can do whatever you want.
Because he's been doing this.
Never.
Year in and year out.
Nope.
8 straight finals.
And you know what? With the gifts that he was given by God, mm-hmm. I'm going to feel sorry for him?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
I mean, you've still got to work hard to make sure you harness those gifts. I'm not saying it's been easy for LeBron, and he has busted his hump to protect those skills and cultivate that talent that God's given him. But you still got to respect the process. And when you say what he said, and we read it three times, and you heard him say it himself, I don't think you're respecting the process anymore. Somewhere along the line, I think he's lost who he was, like, as a grinder, as a competitor.
He lost the fire. It's the same thing that he said a couple weeks ago, BT, when he said, I have nothing left to prove. I have nothing left that I'm chasing. Mm. I'm not chasing anything any longer in the NBA. I've won everything.
Yeah, similar. All right, I've ranted enough. Let's get a little break. I'm going to towel down, get some water. Actually, I'm not sweating. I'm just thirsty. We'll get these calls coming up. 1-855-212-4227. LeBron James. It's an embarrassment. Really, if, as a consumer, you should be ticked off. You're paying money for Laker tickets for this? Now he's going to get engaged with 30 games to go? He's going to activate himself now? That's a joke. We'll get these calls next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I don't think I'm alone on this. I don't. I think that most times my radio instincts are on point with the masses, because I'm a fan. You know that.
I know you are.
I've never lost that, and I never will, that inner compass of knowing what's right, what's wrong, and more importantly, when are you taking us for a sucker? And that's my problem with LeBron. He's taking us for, or he's trying to.
Yes.
We're too smart for it now. He's trying to take us for suckers.
Maybe he's just unaware.
Well, then he's a moron, and I don't think that he is.
And I know he's not.
I don't think he is.
I know he's not. He's too engaged in too many other
things.
He's
not a moron.
Professionally and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He's had too much success to just be oblivious to the impact of some of the things he's been saying over the last couple of months.
I think when you're that pompous and you're that detached from not mainstream society, he mm-hmm. can't relate, and I understand that. He can't relate to us.
Yeah.
But when you're that detached even from the rest of your league, your pompous ways, I believe, obscure what is really still the reality. And I just, it's weird, man. Let's get these calls. First up, Dave is in Arizona. All right, go out to the West Coast. Dave is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Dave? How are you today?
Hey, guys. Good talking with you again.
Appreciate you.
Hey, I got a question for you. Could somebody tell me when and who gave an athlete that kind of power and authority over a team? When did that all happen? I mean, we had general managers and so-and-so.
Well,
when did that?
Dave, let me ask you a question, Dave. I guess I'm not going to say how old are you, but were you a baseball fan of the 70s? First of all, are you a baseball fan?
Well, I worked for the Dodgers in the 70s.
Yes. Oh,
wow.
So you played against my Yankees in 1977 and 78, nice. And also in 1981 when you beat us, which I didn't like.
I was at Dodger Stadium in 81 and watched us beat up on you.
God, Fernando Mania. All right, God, we'll hold it against you. But you'll remember this reference, obviously. Teague, there was a time in the 70s when Billy Martin literally pulled Reggie Jackson from right field because he thought he was dogging a ball in the outfield at Fenway Park, right?
Yeah.
And he just pulled him mid-inning and embarrassed him. And there was almost a Billy Martin was 120 pounds. Reggie could squash him with two fingers. Like if he was able to stick Billy's finger in between his thumb and his forefinger and snap it, yeah, he'd crush Billy Martin. And he wanted to. The
and
point
they hated
is,
each other, right?
Oh, they hated each other. Billy was also a raging alcoholic. That's been well chronicled. Reggie was a little petulant, a little selfish, odd mix, although it actually worked out with the championships. But I say all this because the relation, Dave's question's a good one. And for those who've written, what Dave said was, when did the player get this kind of power?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a slow erosion. That happened in the 70s. And then you'd still get a couple of, like, Billy Martin, Earl Weaver types in the 80s. And then the 90s, there were fewer.
Yeah.
When you're empowered by those kind of mega contracts, you're not going to discipline. It's just human nature.
It's
the way you once did.
Yeah, so think about Jordan's run with the Bulls. If he was dogging it at some point or telling Phil Jackson, you know what, I'm not running the triangle today. You know, I want to be ISO today. It's just all me.
Mm-hmm.
You think Phil Jackson has a say? What happens? I'm not asking rhetorically. I'm asking what happens.
Here's my guess. I've read books where there were times where he deviated from the triangle. Tex Winter's scheme And basically he's like, hey, we need a bucket. You know, you can take a triangle and you can make it a rectangle if you want to do whatever I want. Clear it out. But the point is that I believe that Jordan, and this came from Dean Smith in large part. I also came from his mom and dad for sure. There was an element of coachability. And I do think that LeBron's coachable in many spots. But Jordan respected authority. And maybe it's because he came 20 years before LeBron and that power wasn't fully transferred to the player like it is now.
Yeah.
Maybe if Jordan had this kind of juice, maybe Jordan would have exerted powers the way. I don't think he would have, to be fair. I don't think he would have, because I think he's wired differently than LeBron. And when you play for Dean Smith in the early 80s and you're doing four quarters on occasion, like we talked about in the 79 Duke game, even though he wasn't on that team, the point is you grow up with a respect for the game and a respect for the process that I think LeBron is losing. I think he's losing respect of the process.
Yeah.
Because it's a team-oriented sport. It's about the team, just not for him.
Yeah, but he's looking at the bigger picture.
What's the bigger picture?
He's judged by championships. That's what he's looking at.
Well, he's got a few. It's not like he's got none. He's got a few. He's fine. He's never catching MJ anyway. Scott's in the Bay Area, and Scott is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Scotty.
Long-time fan, by the way.
Appreciate you, Scott. What do you think?
So first and foremost, I agree with BT 100%. This was an example, I think, of his, you know, kind of self-inflated idea of importance or his ego. But, you know, I do want to play kind of devil's advocate on the hand of what Tiki's saying, I think. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tiki, but I don't think LeBron's a bad guy. I know he does a lot for the community.
Yeah, no, he's not a bad guy.
Oh, I acknowledge that, too, to be fair. Yeah. No doubt about it.
So I don't think that's what you're saying either, BT.
I'm definitely not saying that.
His bigger problem, I think, is that he lacks the ability to clearly communicate, you know, whether it be what he's thinking or his stance on an issue. A perfect example.
I think you're right about this.
Maybe keep going.
I think you're right about this. I think you're right.
Jamie Loren or somebody.
Yeah.
You remember that whole shut up and dribble BS?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, when he responded, what he said was, I'm too important to, you know, shut up and dribble. And I fully understood what he was trying to say was, hey, the platform that I have and, you know, my ability to reach so many people, that's far too important and far too, you know, far reaching for me to just only, you know, use it to talk about basketball or whatever. But the way he said it, like this example today, BT, is so just, I think, convoluted with this idea of I'm too important, you know, and I think it has to do with from the time he was a kid. Like Tiki, you talk all the time about how it was a struggle and you had to compete.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't like this, I'm transferring or
it wasn't easy.
Weren't told you were the superstar from day one. And I think LeBron obviously hasn't gone through that kind of humbling to, you know, be able to speak from a place of, you know, authenticity.
Yeah. I think you lay that out really well. It's almost. And maybe this goes back to the initial conversation we had at the top of our show, BT.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know my history. I came to college. I was shy as anyone. I wouldn't talk to you. Like I was too shy. Right? I was a good athlete, but I was too shy.
Yep.
You wouldn't know by what I do for a living now.
But I could still say it. Shy. I could see you being that way when you were young.
Did you see
me being shy?
No, never. But imagine I became a superstar athlete without learning how to communicate with people.
Uh-huh.
Like, imagine if I had skipped UVA, went to the NFL, had the exact same career,
mm-hmm.
right? Just, you know, a couple years trying to figure it out, and then all of a sudden I become a star,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm making Pro Bowls and, you know, 2,000 all-purpose show, whatever, right? And I still don't know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And people start asking me questions, and you can come off odd if you haven't learned how to talk to people.
I agree.
So by going to college, right, I grew into the man
mm-hmm.
that became the star.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron never really did that except for professionally, right? There's something about...
But neither did Kobe. That's why I think that
he was worldly. Right?
Yeah, grew up in Italy.
That's true.
Grew up in Italy. His dad played in Italy, grew up there. We talked about it many times.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting because I think Scott's point is LeBron's trying to say this. It's not like he's trying to come off as an ass.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming from a place of malice.
No, he's trying to say
the
right thing.
Just a lack of awareness.
He can't articulate it correctly.
Well, then he should stop trying. Or somebody in his legal team, instead of, Everybody surrounded him in the barbershop saying, yeah, you're right, LeBron. Yeah, you're right, LeBron. Yeah, LeBron, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Yeah. Somebody should probably say one of his boys who he really trusts.
Sycophants. That's what you call them.
Well, I'm not going to call his best buddy sycophants.
I don't talk about them, but most of everybody else.
Sure.
You know, and you're right, LeBron.
Yeah,
good job. You're right. You're right.
Everybody endorses and stamps what he says. Somebody in his inner circle needs to say, hey, you know, you are doing incredibly great things in this world, but sometimes when you put things out there, it marginalizes or offsets some of the good you do because you are losing in a way you never lost in the court of public opinion before.
Yeah.
LeBron is losing. Like right now, I believe that if we put a poll up, and we're going to move on to some other stuff, but if we put a poll up and every listener that's ever listened to this show, right, so we'd have the most results of any poll we ever put up, if they weighed in, I believe that far more people would say they no longer like LeBron than those who do. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that. I believe that.
Probably right.
And I know for a fact when we started doing the show on January 2nd, 2013, it was the complete antithesis.
Yep.
And listen, any of the knocks on LeBron back then, basketball driven. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to go play with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. You can't win by yourself. Michael won by himself. But now it's morphing into a lack of awareness, a selfishness, an arrogance. It's just, it's very unbecoming for somebody who is the, you know, he is the one holding the steering wheel of the NBA.
Yes.
Like, he's taking the vehicle wherever it's going to go. And younger players follow his lead. And right now, I don't think he's setting a good example. I don't. 855-212-4227. What do you think? We have time for another call or no? Give me a quick thumbs up. Is that a yes? Yep. Let's get Mike's in Myrtle Beach. And Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Go ahead, Mike, before we get the update. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tiki and Tierney.
Hey.
I'm down here on vacation. I spoke to you guys on Monday. Tiki, real quick. I forgot to mention your years of service with the Giants, and you and your brother Class Axe and Tiki.
Appreciate you.
And Clearney, you make a nice combo on the radio. That's for sure.
Thanks, Mike.
What do you got for us?
Sure. my feelings on LeBron. I really admired what he did. The way he dominated the court, won championships with the Heat and the Cavs. But I agree with you, Tierney. I think you know well. Like a previous caller said, you know, I've never seen a guy pampered like this, and he's calling the shots, and he's gonna turn the engine on when he feels like it to compete. I mean, he's narcissistic.
Yes.
And I didn't really care too much, Tiki and Tierney, not at all, with his comments about a month ago. So some athletes should, you know, do your job, but don't get, you know, don't do revisionist history and stuff, you know?
I hear you.
All right. Great show, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. I'll be down in Myrtle coming up in June, the annual boys trip.
Yeah, man.
Play golf and no responsibility, which is a nice thing and a rare thing. All right, let's get the update from Jay. All right, so we've got Pat Williams, who is going to be in studio. Pat actually went to the wrong CBS studio.
Oh, nice.
We love Pat. Yeah. He's been here many times, but I guess he got crossed up. So he's all the way kind of midtownish and west. We're downtown and west, if you know Manhattan. So Pat Williams might get here tomorrow by the time with the traffic. But if he gets here, we'll certainly put him on. But this allows us to keep going with this for another full segment, which actually is good. I want to hear more calls. I want to get your thoughts on LeBron. We've talked a lot. You know where we stand. 1-855-212-4227. More calls. Berman's update right now. Here's Big J. All right, Tiki and Tierney back here on a pretty busy Thursday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM. 206. So I got a text message last break here, and I told you they weren't messing around. They're all wearing their red boots.
I like it.
Potts, my wife, Joanna, Brianna, they're all ready to roll. We're going to see Kinky Boots tonight.
I love it.
No such boots on this guy. Nope. Daddy's just wearing his kicks and his socks.
Those are much more comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Your gals will be jealous, though, BT.
You going to put on a good show tonight for us tonight?
Because my boots are thigh high and about 4 inches taller than those.
They actually are. Oh, my God. Yeah, these are knee highs. Your goes up to your thigh. I mean, you can wear it as a jock strap, actually, if your real jock strap is in the laundry. Are you going to put on an extra special show for us tonight, Tiki?
Will.
You going to call me up on stage?
No, I'm not calling.
Why not?
I'll call you backstage.
Nah, call me up on stage.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see Kinky Boots tonight. It's been long overdue. We were at the Super Bowl. We've been juggling a bunch of stuff, obviously, but obviously going to support my boy tonight.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Knock him out.
Moved into a new house, too, by the way.
Moved into a new house. A few moving parts, but this is going to be great. My mom saw it. My mom saw it way before you were on it, and she's raving about it. She's like, you guys are going to have a lot of fun. But we're talking about LeBron, which has put me in a surly mood. And, you know, it's just enough is enough, LeBron.
You haven't been this way in a while.
Nothing has really annoyed me to this level. Like, I can't have a contrived, fake, false outrage. I just can't. Not when I go to that place that I go to.
Yeah, and you're
like
there.
Like I went today.
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done with LeBron. I officially root against him. I officially hope he gets embarrassed, and I hope he officially wins nothing.
It is really entertaining for me as your partner to sit and watch.
You must think I'm actually out of my mind.
Well, no, the last time I saw it, I honestly think was...
Was it with the Jets?
With the Jets on... why am I forgetting his name?
Todd Bowles?
Todd Bowles' second year.
It been that long?
Yeah, when you railed on him.
Yeah, no, that's on YouTube. There were a couple of rail jobs on poor Todd Bowles. He's off my radar now. Gase, you better be better, otherwise you're next.
He'll do well as the Bucks DC.
yes, that's true. Yeah, that was... True. I mean, I'm not lying. That is easily found on YouTube. Give it a knock. And boy, that was, I remember you just laying back and
I was like, I'll leave now.
I think I went for a good 6 minutes without stopping.
You definitely did.
Wow. no gumption, no backbone, no sack. Okay. A couple of people want to defend LeBron. So, in the fairness of the show, the spirit of the show. Timmy in Atlanta, Thomas in Maryland says he's kind of with LBJ on this one. Thomas, you're on Tiki and Tierney. How are you today?
You just start ramming. You didn't even do your research.
What are you talking about?
He does this every year. Last year was zero dark 30.
I know.
I'm shutting off the internet. Starting the playoffs early.
Well, that's when the playoffs start.
You're sitting there putting them down early, and I don't know when the last time you went to an NBA game, they loaf for three quarters.
They what?
They loaf for three quarters.
Okay.
And then they turn it up in the fourth quarter. So okay. What did you think Le'Veon Bell did against the Jaguars? Oh, you're not going to give me a raise? Okay, I'll play half. You know what? Uh-huh. And they lost that game.
Well, you know what, Thomas, is a little bit different.
What is your point, though?
NFL players don't nearly have the guarantees. LeBron James is making $38 million this year. Le'Veon Bell can't get 10 a season. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different.
But I'm not sure what Thomas's point is.
His point is
you
is
think
that LeBron,
I'm being unfair to LeBron?
Are you saying that every year LeBron James says, all right, I'm turning it on. I'm shutting down. I'm going
not like this, though. And not with a new team, impressionable young teammates, a team that is built on championships with Magic
this
and
just
Kareem
sounded, this
and Wilt
different.
And Jerry West.
This sounded different.
Jack,
this sounded different. It felt different.
It did. Yeah. Yes.
I know what Thomas is talking about because we hear it every year.
Oh, like, he says it. That's
I'm
it. No
off,
social media.
Off social media. Yeah. I'm done. I'm
when
focused
the playoffs
in. I'm,
start.
I'm locked in. This sounded different.
Not a week after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know? Let's get Truett, I believe is how you pronounce it, in Illinois. And Truett's on Tiki and Tierney. Truett, what's going on?
Hey, love you guys' show. Couple of things. I think LeBron is too full of himself. When he won in Cleveland, he said that put him pretty much with Jordan.
Yes.
And in my math, it's like 6-3.
Yeah.
And
he has been to 8 straight, just in his defense.
Yeah, but he's only got 3.
Yeah,
he lost.
It's ultimately about getting the ring, getting the title, and not the Eastern Conference title.
I went to school in Indiana, and it was a big school, and there was this one kid who eventually tried out for the Lakers, but he basically just coasted in high school. Because he knew he would get to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
And he basically, like I said, he would play a game that night and miss the next 2 days, and then they basically let him slide.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear you. I mean, I'm sure everybody has somebody like that. Yeah. I mean, not everybody lives and dies with sports. I get that. Not everybody's incredibly diligent. Listen, I'm also under no illusion I understand there are spikes in energy and discernible drops in energy just for physical self-preservation. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to the age of LeBron, you know, almost mid-30s, 55,000-plus minutes, not counting the Olympics in his career, I'm okay with, you know.
And this is 16 seasons?
15 or 16, whatever it is. 55,000 minutes. It's 16 season, 15, whatever, one of the two.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if he doesn't chase, I don't know, Malik Monk from behind, you know, 70 feet and try to pin him to the backboard like he did in the finals, that's fine.
Yeah.
If it's February. But don't say it. When you say it, it is just disrespectful to the fan who deserves more. Even if you want to play us, but just don't say it. That's my problem. Bobby's in South Carolina. Bobby, I believe, is with LeBron. Okay. What's up, Bobby? Go ahead.
What's going on, fellas?
Bobby.
All's good, man.
All right. I'm kind of with LeBron. I understand what he's saying. He's saying, this is my opinion now.
Okay.
The level of intensity has to go up because he has to turn it into like playoff mode this early.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, is because he's not used to it. I wouldn't want to be in playoff mode now and trying to win another championship, but unfortunately, he has to do it.
But a lot of teams have to be like this, right? A lot of teams have to play hard the whole season long because it's just not good enough, right?
James Harden every night. Now, that's a different conversation, maybe a different critique on a different level. But if James Harden coasts, they lose by 20. And you could take issue with the shot selection. You could take issue with his defense, which he once again has forgotten how to play or shown any inclination to try to play. He tried a little bit last year. This year he's not trying with that. There's things to knock with James Harden, but yeah. He doesn't present. Nobody presents themselves like LeBron James.
I know.
No, Mike Trout doesn't do that. Tiger Woods at his apex didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, none of these guys do it. Tom Brady doesn't do that. You know, I'm pretty sure in 10 years, if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy and keeps going in this direction,
true.
Patrick Mahomes isn't going to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. And Santer keeps chirping in my ear.
Well, then open up the mic and start chirping on the air, Santer, if you got something to say.
I understand what Santer's trying to say.
What is he saying?
He's saying that because the season is so long and that, you know, he's so
Captain
good,
Obvious. No kidding. It's 82 games. It's 6 months. We've known this our whole lives.
And this team has been so bad that he has to.
Has to what?
He has to turn it on.
Okay, that's fine.
Listen, here's my point. What I was saying to Tiki.
Good.
You run a marathon, right?
Yeah.
26 miles.
It's different.
But it's an analogy. You're conserving your energy, and at the very end, the last mile and a half, you start sprinting or you start picking up your pace.
Here's where you're wrong. Here's why. Okay. Your metaphor is interesting for the average player. The average runner, if me or anyone else is running a marathon, elite runners are kicking ass from jump.
That makes sense. I don't think the guys from Kenya or jogging the first 8 miles.
Yes, because the first mile counts the same amount as the last mile.
Yes.
In the NBA, it's different. The playoffs count more than the regular season. And LeBron is judged on a different scale of any other player in NBA history.
Maybe.
He's judged solely on championships. He won MVP after MVP after MVP and lost in the finals, and people said he can't win the big one. He's never going to be Jordan. He went to 8 straight. He won 3 championships, and now people are saying, well, he won those championships by lollygagging a little bit during the regular season. You know what? He won those titles. Jordan took 6 years to win a title. He lost 4 years in a row to the Pistons in the playoffs.
Bad boys. Calm down. Calm down. Here's the thing.
Yeah, tell him the pipe down.
Here's the problem. Michael Jordan did all of these things respecting the process and saying the right things. We're not knocking LeBron's success.
Nope.
I laud him for what he's been able to do. I'm talking about how he's communicating who he is. Like, he sounds like an ass when he says these things.
So you're more upset with the fact that he's brazen enough to say this as opposed to the fact that he's actually doing
this? Yes, because I want humility in my star.
Yes. That's fine.
I don't want some dude saying I'm the best that ever was. I wake up and
except for Ali, maybe.
But that's an individual sport. You can get away with that.
You can get away with
Muhammad Ali goes to the ring against Frazier. Muhammad Ali's by himself.
How are we judging LeBron? Are we looking back at LeBron saying what a great team guy he was? Or are we saying he's the greatest of all time?
He's not the greatest of all time, so we're not saying that.
Because he's not a great team guy. That's exactly why he's not the greatest of all time. He's not a great team guy. He makes it all about himself, right? Michael Jordan, as great as he was, as goat as he was, he would give credit to Scottie Pippen. He would give credit to Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. He held to his coach.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron gets his coach fired, for Christ's sake.
Coach is.
He doesn't like them.
Uh-huh.
David Blatt, you're the greatest international coach ever.
Get lost.
Get the hell out of
Go
here.
Back to
you took us to the finals.
You stink.
Right? I'm just saying.
And Bill Walton's in the middle. Watch in another month or so.
Luke,
those railroad tracks right over Bill Walton's suit jacket. He'll be gone as well. It's a consistent theme. Hey, Le'Veon Bell put on 50 pounds. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.